old jasper walls and golden streets and all that's good. That's wonderful. No sickness, no sorrow, no dying, no tears. All that's good. But folks, those are just benefits. The real prize. Glory. It's seeing the one that died for us. Well, enough about heaven. I got to tell you about the wrath of God, don't I? It's good to talk about heaven. Children of God ought to rejoice in the fact they're going to heaven. But boy, we ought to be telling people there's a place other than heaven. And there's a reason you're not going to heaven. Chapter 17 of Revelation. So turn to Genesis chapter 10. Chapter 17 of Revelation is another informational chapter. It's not a chronological thing. There's no chronology to Revelation. It's just a series of information. And it's a series of pieces of the puzzle that make all the picture come together. And when the picture is finally formed, you see two things. And we talked about those two things when we began Revelation chapter 1. What was that? You're exactly right, my illustrious assistant. Boy, she's sharp. And if Pam was here this morning, and she will be, brother, don't you worry. She will be. She would tell us the other part because she takes notes. She notes everything. Be careful what you say around Pam. It will be in the notes. If you say something about the pastor, it will be in the notes. Or about the teacher, it will be in the notes. But the greatest thing about Revelation is the revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And with that revelation brings the restoration. The restoration that he's long promised to his chosen people Israel. And so when you see the final picture of the puzzle, you'll see him. And you'll see them restored. But chapter 17 gives us more information to that puzzle. Now, we all know that the church is the, starts with a B, next letter's R, next letter's I, bride, thank you. Our pastor needed another letter. I know. The church is the bride of Christ. Aren't you happy for that? Aren't you glad for that? Just ask the bride over here. And if she, the other one was here, I'd ask Brenda. It's wonderful to be the bride. But you remember Satan, he imitates. Everything that God has, Satan imitates. God has his church. Now the word church is ecclesia. It means the called out ones. Aren't you glad this morning that you've been called out? Now, it means called out simply means that you're not where you were. You've been called out from where you were. Now you're in a different place. And God has got his called out ones, the church, the bride. But here comes Satan. He's got his. Only I got news for him. God doesn't call her a bride. God calls her a whore. Now, I don't want to get vulgar this morning, but we all know what a whore is. If you call my wife a whore, mere you one's going to get hurt. Probably me, but that's how it'll be. You won't talk about my bride, and you won't degrade her by calling her that. But let me tell you something. There ain't nobody going to talk back to God. He can call you whatever he wants to. And he calls this woman a whore. It's talking about false religion. Now, it says that this woman is the mother of all abomination. Well, if that's the case, then that means there was an origin of this, right? This false religion had to have an origin, right? If you'll help me, I'll get going better. But in this chapter, it tells you about that origin. And so you don't miss it. It's in all caps. You know, when they first come out with text, boy, did I ever get in trouble. Oh, I'm too dumb to know much about texting. I put everything in caps. Well, I had this lady from Blue Cross, and she called me up. She was a dear friend. And she said, "Tom, why are you fussing at me?" I said, "Hey, I ain't said a word to you." She said, "Your text." I said, "Yeah, I was just telling you what I need." She said, "But you put it in all caps." I said, "So?" She said, "That means you're angry." I didn't know that. Did you know that? Well, you do now, brother. If you put a message in all caps, listen, do you know that, brother? You're young. No, y'all are young. Y'all got this down pat, don't you? You don't put it in caps when you send it to her, do you? Now, she puts it in caps when it comes to you. Yeah. But that's what it means. Well, guess what? God had that figured out long before they come along with texting, because he put it in all text, in all caps. The mystery, Babylon. And he spelled out what they are. And he showed he was angry with him. Folks, look. If you don't think God's angry at all this nonsensical religion that's going on, you're badly mistaken. I just heard this morning. I don't know why I was in the kitchen. I don't even know why I go to the kitchen half the time. But I was in there for some reason, Linda. And they were talking about, you may have heard about this. For gay people, it's called reformation conversion therapy. Conversion therapy. And they were talking about how, and it was through the church now, through the church. And they were talking about how conversion therapy had failed. That people got converted and they got the therapy, but they weren't happy, so they went back to what they were. Now, that made perfect sense to me. That made perfect sense to me. Because, see, they were trying to convert themselves. I've never met a person that got truly converted by God that ever said, "Well, I'm not happy, I'm going back." But you see, the world, through religion, has got their own way of converting people. That's so far away from what God's Word teaches, it's not even funny. But now, in chapter 10 of Genesis, we come across Nimrod. And Nimrod built a city. Now, everybody knows what city Nimrod built, don't you? What was it? See, everybody says yeah, and everybody shakes their head, but when I say what was it, they go blank. It was called Babel. Now, the word Babel, when he first built the city, meant the city of God. But if you look at that, you see that it was man trying to build the city of God. Because it says, wherefore let us go now and let us take brick and mortar, I'm just paraphrasing now what it says, that we might build us a city and a tower that reaches to heaven. Now, what is wrong with their desire there? What's the problem with what they said? Let us. Let us do it. They said, let us build us a city and a tower that reaches to heaven that we might make us a name, lest we be scattered. In other words, let's make ourselves so powerful that no one dare come and try to scatter us. Because it says, for they were of all one language. Now the next verse after that says this. Then God. Remember I told you not long ago, if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans. Just tell him you plan to build a tower to heaven and make a city, and make a name for yourself. See how quick God visits you. God don't share his glory, folks. He means exactly what he says. He says, my glory will I not share with another. That meant them too. And so it says, then God came to pay him a visit. And you know what he did? He did exactly what they said they couldn't. That couldn't be done to them. They said, let us build us a name lest we be scattered. Well, he said, well, let me go down now and I'll scatter you. And I'll tell you what I'll do. Anybody get your nails done? Now, I don't mean this disparagingly because I get my nails done all the time. I like doing my nails. I take care of them. Used to bite them, didn't have any. Now I got someone to take care of them. But I go in to get my nails done. I can't understand, although I was over there, I can't understand a word they say. I know they're talking about me. I know they're laughing because I didn't have a tooth. It's probably talking about my weight. But I couldn't understand a word they said. I was confused. And when I talk to them, they're confused. God says, I'll just confuse you. You think that you got all this going. I'll confuse you. I'll make it so when you holler for the brick, they bring you the mortar. And when you holler for the mortar, they'll bring you the brick. Because they won't have a clue what you're saying. Folks, that's where it all began. When man in his heart decided that he could get to heaven his way. Now, unless you think that's no longer around, you would be mistaken. If you go further on into the Bible, you come across a woman named, starts with a J, next letter Z. Thank you, brother. It takes a good preacher to get these names out. Jezebel. Now, first of all, Ahab had no right to bring Jezebel in as queen, did he? Because she was a Moabite. And you want to, God told him, said, don't marry him. Listen, lest you think that don't count for today, folks, let me tell you something. If a child of God marries a person that is not saved, they're going to have problems. And don't say, well, I'm going to change them. God didn't say for you to go in there and try to change them. He said, don't do it. You'll have problems. Now look, I understand that happens, and I understand that sometimes the spouse gets saved and things turn out good. But on the way to turning out good, I guarantee there was a lot of bad. There was a lot of bad. God means what he said. He wasn't just saying that to Israel, folks. He says it to the church. Be ye not unequally yoked together. I mean, that's it. But we choose, oh, well, I'm in love. And then a couple years later, well, that dirt bag, I sent him packing. Didn't work out too good. But Jezebel comes in. Now, what's the first thing that she brings with her? Her God. That's a big problem, isn't it? Well, not only did Ahab listen to her, he helped her. He promoted it. And now they've got more prophets of Baal than they do prophets of God. Now, what's the next thing that happens? Well, the same thing that happened at Babel. God come visiting. God's not funning, folks. God came a visit. Now, he came visiting through Elijah, didn't he? He said, Elijah, you tell him it's not going to rain. Till I say it's going to rain. Or till you say it's going to rain, but you'll say it's not going to rain because I say it's not going to rain. When I say it's going to rain, then you can say it's going to rain and it'll rain. Are you confused? Yes. See?
Say that again.
And so y'all know the story. Finally, Elijah says, I tell you what, let's meet up here and we'll pray. And whoever answers, let them be God. If God be God, let them. If Baal be God, we'll serve him. If God be God, we'll serve him. And they go up there, and 450 of them clowns, and that's what they are, clowns. 450 of those clowns got up there and tried their best to pray the fire down. Folks, we got pulpit after pulpit after pulpit of clowns trying to pray the power down, the fire down. God's not in it. Because they choose to go a different way than his word. Oh, they have it. They got the steeple outside. They got the name outside. Remember, let us build us a name. They got the name church. They got the name religion. Even I told my brother, and he'll tell you I did. I don't use Christianity anymore. I don't ask people if they're a Christian. Christianity has just become one of the great religions of the world. Christianity just means, have you chosen Christianity as your religion? You know what I ask them? I shouldn't do things I do, but I do things I do. I went to get the other day and got my hair cut, as you can tell. Got me nice and dinner, Richard. Looks a little like yours. And so this other man come in, and it was the three of us in there, the barber, me, and the other man. Well, barber got through with my wonderful haircut and made me looking better. And I got up out of the chair, and I paid the barber, and I turned to go to the door. The Lord said, you didn't say anything to that man come in. He got in the chair. I turned back around. I said, I'm Tom Foster. He put his hand out. I said, do you know the Lord? There's a far difference in knowing the Lord and being a Christian.
Amen.
Hey, if you know the Lord and the Lord knows you, you'll be a Christian. But I just stopped asking people if they're a Christian because I found out everybody is. Everybody I ask, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah. You know, but when I ask them if they know the Lord, there's that hesitation. Now they've got a question. Oh, boy. So here they are up there, and they're praying, and the fire won't come. You can pray and preach till you're blue in the face. If you're not of God, the power ain't going to come, brother. The fire's not coming. You can cut yourself. That's what they did. It's not coming. Finally, after Elijah mocked them, y'all know the story, Elijah said, get out of the way. Y'all got nothing for these people. He said, I tell you what, wet everything down. Let's just really do something here. Just wet everything down. And put a little more on it after that. And he prayed for 10 straight hours for the fire to come. You have to get a preacher to get you some help sometimes. No, brother, he didn't pray. Listen, he said, let the fire come, bless God, the fire come, huh? Listen, if you know God, son, when you say, let the fire come, the fire's coming. Huh? So, and then they said, oh, God be God. And he said, well, kill all these prophets then. You say, oh, that's going too far. No, it's not. No, it's not. You say, Tom, do you advocate killing people? No, God does. And God will. I'm not going to kill anybody. Yeah, I'm not the judge. But these people that think God's not going to judge them, is God another thing coming? They're not reading this. God judged those people right there on the spot. And he judged them condemned, and he judged them to die, and bless God, they died. Now, if you fast forward over to the New Testament, and you come to the book of Jude. Now, everybody knows what the book of Jude's about, don't you? See, everybody's afraid to say anything because, you know, if you say, yes, I'm going to come to you. No, that's okay. I'm not going to come to you. I promise. But the book of Jude is about apostasy. It's about apostasy. Now, everyone knows what apostasy is, don't you? If you don't know what apostasy is, raise your hand. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. Thank you, brother. Well, I'll tell you three, and the rest of them can find out. Apostasy, according to the Bible, is when you have departed the faith. Now, that's not talking about a saved person departing the faith. It's talking about this world departing the faith. It's talking about this world perverting the faith. He says, once for all, delivering to the saints' faith. That's what Jude is about. And then he comes on over there to in Jude, and he talks about three people. And he talks about how they departed from the faith. Well, the first one that's mentioned is Cain. Well, he takes you all the way back to show you that from the beginning there's been this apostasy. What was the sin of Cain? No, it wasn't that he killed Abel. That was a result of his sin. I know you got it. You're like me and my tremors, honey. You jerk sometimes. My assistant had it. She just couldn't spit it out. His sin was this. God said, bring me a sacrifice. Abel brought what God said, a blood sacrifice. Cain says, I'll bring my own. I till the soil. Look what I do. I've got all this that I do, my labors. I'll bring God what I've done, and God will have to accept it. If you don't think that's going on today, you're blind to what's going on today. There's a whole lot of people that says God's going to have to accept what I do. Yes, they do, brother. Don't say no. You'll never come back, will you? I've run him off before he even preaches. I know what you mean, brother. I know what you mean. Listen, there's churches. There's churches. They took their songbook, and they went through them. And if it talked about the blood, they tore it out. They said it's offensive. It's too offensive to talk about that blood religion. I'm going to tell you what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. I'll never tear that out. I'll sing it, bless God, but I can't sing because the breath's left me. But Cain said, I don't need the blood sacrifice. That's departing from the faith. The faith is, remember what the faith is? Here's the faith, folks. Here's the faith, right here. Now, I know that there's people that says, well, I have faith. And I'll say, faith in what? Well, they have that hesitation. Faith in faith. Well, faith in what faith? Well, I just believe I have faith. Look, if it's not according to this, you don't have any faith. This is the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you don't believe this, you don't have any faith. Oh, you listen, you might be like some of these people that appeared on Oprah sometimes. I just had trouble with that. They always talked about being spiritual. Now, I'm not mocking them. But I never heard one word about sin, about the penalty of sin, of where you get the spirituality from the Holy Spirit. It was all man has this ability to be spiritual. So we had Cain. He departed from the faith because he said, I don't need the blood. And then you got Balaam. What was the sin of Balaam? Well, according to Jude, it was that he sought reward. I hate to say this, brother. I don't mean to get on you. We got a lot of preachers that are in it for the money. God never called them. I can tell that by what they preach and how they preach. I might as well hold a dead fish in my hand. That's how cold it is and slimy. But boy, you know what? Seems like they've got the biggest congregations. Because one will stand up there and smile the whole time and tell you, well, now, I don't preach on sin. That's too judgmental. Well, if you're not going to tell a person their problem, how are you going to help them? I mean, if a doctor come in and didn't tell you what's wrong with you, if he came in and told Myla, said, Myla, I don't have a clue what's wrong with you, huh? She says, but doctor, I can't see. I don't have a clue. How's he going to help her? Well, how are you going to help someone if you don't know their problem? Their problem, same as your problem was before you got saved, right? Their problem, same as my problem was before I got saved. It's sin. It's not changed. But Balaam, he would do anything for the reward. Remember the story, don't you? You know, Balak, he says, now, son, I want you to go up there and curse Israel. Well, I'll have to talk to the Lord about it. Well, he goes up, and the Lord says, don't you go. Money. So he don't go. Well, they come and say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a little more. Well, let me go pray again, brother. Now, wait a minute, he's done talked to the Lord. Now, you think the Lord's going to change his mind? No, he wasn't going to change his mind. Balaam was trying to find some way to change his mind. So he goes up there and he prays again, and the Lord said, don't you go. They go away and they come back and they say, he said he'd double what he offered. I'm making this up now. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. But it's a story. You can read it. And he goes up to pray again. Remember I told you when I told you that story? He goes over to this mountain and over to this mountain. Listen, folks, we got people that come to this church. And if they don't hear what will make them feel good, bless God, they'll go over to this church. They'll keep going to a church till they hear something that goes along with how they want to live. And that's what old Balaam was doing. He go from mountain to mountain. And the Lord gave him the same answer. Finally, the Lord got angry with him. He said, go on. You go on. Go on with them. But you better say what I tell you say. I don't mean to point at you. I'll point over here. He's a visitor. You better say what I tell you, say. Well, along the way, Balaam ain't getting, he's just not getting it, is he? So all of a sudden, the jackass he's riding come to a screeching halt and throws old Balaam right straddle of the stump. Y'all remember that, don't you? Sam Brown went to town, riding a billy goat, leading a hound with a hound barked, and the billy goat jumped, throwed old Sam. My dad used to put me on his knee, and he'd say that to me. Well, that's what happened to Balaam. The jackass stopped, and Balaam goes off, and he gets up and hits that donkey. Now, come on. You know what the donkey did? He spoke to him. Brother, you better pay attention. Listen, when a donkey starts talking to you, you better start listening. He said, why are you hitting me? Don't you see the angel with the drawn sword? And the Bible says that God opened his eyes, and there he saw him. Still didn't have him. He went up to see the king. He says, King, God won't let me curse Israel. I can't do it. But I sure do would like to have that money. I can't curse them. I'll tell you how to corrupt them. Then God will curse them.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when you want the reward so much, you'll find a way. Well, just so happens that he told Balak how to do it. He'd send you women down there. Intermingle with them. I told you God meant what he said. He said, God will have to curse them then. He'll curse them himself because they broke his law. And he was right. And God did. But you know what happened to Balaam? They went up to the battle. The sword went through him. God's not funny, folks. God gave him every opportunity to do what he told him. He even let a donkey talk to him. But some people want money so bad they won't even listen to a donkey talk. And then you got the third one, then I'm done. Well, no, I'm not either. I got time. they watch me up there, brother. I have to watch that clock. The third one in Jude, you've got Cain and Balaam, then you've got Korah, Dathan, and Abihu. And they come up to Moses. And here's what they said. They said, Moses, you take too much on yourself, son. You think too much of yourself. You think too highly of yourself, Moses. After all the people are holy. Whoa. Oh, whoa. Huh? Listen, all you got to do is look around, folks. Everybody's going to heaven. No, I'm talking about their attitude. Read these books. Have you ever seen one that says they went and saw the bright lights in hell and come back? Have you ever seen one that didn't say, well, I know they're up there looking down on us. After all, we're all the children of God. Have you ever heard that? That's a lie right out of hell. We're all the creation of God, folks. That I'll agree with. But you're a child of God through Jesus Christ, or you're not.
Amen.
And so Korah says, now, Moses, you take too much on yourself here. Come on in if you want to. He says, you take too much on yourself. You think too highly of yourself. We're all holy. God's not called you out to be holy. God's not set you apart, and that's what holy means. God's not set you apart. We're all holy. You and Aaron's just thinking too much of yourself. Moses said, well, okay. All right, brother. Tell you what. you come up in the morning before the tabernacle, and we'll let God decide who's holy. Well, Dathan and Abihu, they wouldn't come. They're sort of smart. They wouldn't come. But Korah, boy, he was really ready. So here he come. Him, his family, and all the 250 of them come up there to the tabernacle, and the cloud was there. Y'all know what the cloud means, don't you? God's there. I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be a day when everybody's going to come before the cloud. There's going to be a day, bless God, when everybody's going to walk up and let God tell them whether they're holy or not. Because the Bible says, be ye holy as your Father in heaven is holy. And without holiness, no man shall see God. See, you got to be holy. But you don't make yourself holy. You're not holy just because you want to be holy. You're not holy because you do philanthropical, I can't spell it, but I try to say it, work and give you money away. I'll put it that way. That won't make you holy. God will make you holy. God will make you righteous, or you're neither. And so here they come. And Moses said, I tell you what, brother. He said, here's how we're going to do this. If you die a normal death, that's not good. I mean, when the first thing out of his mouth says, if you die a normal death, somebody's going to die, right? That's a foregone conclusion. Somebody's going to die here. He says, if you die a normal death, then you're right. Everybody's holy and God's not called me. But if God do something not been done, and the earth open up and swallow you, and everybody with you, and all your possessions, then God has called me. And you're not holy. About 10 hours later, the earth opened up and swallowed them. Don't say, that's not true. It's immediately. It wasn't 10 hours later. As soon as Moses had stopped speaking, gone. Well, you'd have thought that everybody in the camp would have got the message. But the very next morning, I'm almost done. I'm hurrying, brother. The very next morning, here they come. And they accused Aaron and Moses of killing the children of God. Moses had just shown them they weren't children of God, bless God. They weren't holy. But here they come. You have killed the children of God. Well, it didn't make Moses angry, but sure did make God angry. You know what God said? He said, Moses, get out of the way. You and Aaron, just separate yourself from them. I'm going to kill every one of them. Now, you can read this. That's what he said. Remember I told you, hey, I don't advocate the death of anybody, but one of these days God's going to kill everybody that don't agree with him. It's that simple. Like it or lump it, that's how it is. So he says, Moses, separate yourselves. And Moses said, oh, Aaron, what have they done? He said, Aaron, grab the censer, huh? Grab a censer. Run as fast as you can to the tabernacle and put the censer in. Unless God kill them all. And so here goes Aaron running as fast as he can, puts the censer in. And it says the plague was stayed. But 5,000 people died. These people that question God and don't obey God and don't listen to God, God's going to kill them one of these days. Just sure as you're sitting there and I'm standing here, I don't take any joy in that. And I don't judge anyone. God judges everyone. But I'll tell you what, these people think they're getting away with it. They're not getting away with anything. God's got a record of everything, and God's going to judge everything, even us. You heard that Wednesday night, didn't you? That was a wonderful message. I told the pastor, I said, well, you ought to do that more often. That's good preaching. on the works, wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, which you want. God's going to reward you with one. Throw away the rest. But these people that don't want to go God's way, that won't listen to God's word, and I'm going to get into chapter 17 next week. I knew I couldn't get there today. That's what's going to happen. And all you have to do is read Peter chapter 2. It says, in that day there were false prophets. In this day are there false teachers. The key word's the false. What are you listening to? What are you believing? This is true. Oh, this is true. Thank you. See, she keeps me straight. This is true. This is true. Accept this, you'll be fine. Reject this, you won't be fine. And I say you generically to the whole world. Well, see you next week.